it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The words, the comments, the system we have, and all this in light of what took place with the political assassination of Charlie Kirk. Some of this, Dave, is clearly on us. Because there are plenty of people who continue to vote for those individuals who offer up hateful comments on a regular basis. And they like it because it's someone they disagree with. And so the hate is just comfortable. As I said at one point last hour, think about our congressional system, Dave, where we're down to, out of 435 congressional races, I think we're down to about 50 or 60, where there's actually uncertainty whether a Democrat or Republican is going to win. So guess what happens then? It's a race to the extremes to become the next congresswoman, congressman, and then seemingly you're set for 20, 30 years. And you know what works right now? Mocking and belittling the opponents. It works fundraising. It works with your social media clicks. It gets you time on whatever network is your team. And it's sad. Even when there was uncertainty about whether Charlie Kirk would survive, it was brand, brand, brand. In this state, I have multiple times called out Tim Walz for some of his rhetoric on Donald Trump, including most recently, a couple weeks ago, when this was all in light to whatever bruise was on Trump's left hand, and then he wasn't as visible. And Walz is at the AFL-CIO event in Duluth and musing and chuckling about the news we might get when the clear inference was about maybe the inference of bad news or maybe the death of the president. That's gross. That's awful. Then we get to the president. The president, in my opinion, and again, the beauty of this show or exchange of ideas, the exchange of ideas that Charlie Kirk was about, you don't have to agree with my views. But Donald Trump's a bully and belittles people about every single day. And so when he gives a speech yesterday, about a four-minute speech, I'm not shocked because this is just who he is. But you know what I was hoping for? A unifier. Ronald Reagan after the Challenger, Bill Clinton after Oklahoma City, W, and that speech to Congress. But no, the majority, I don't want to say the majority, but a decent amount of yesterday when the president, by the way, he's my president, he's your president, he's like somebody sent me a text that your governor. Well, guess what? He's the same governor for all of us, whether you voted for him or like him or not. And guess what? I didn't vote for Donald Trump. I gave no consideration to voting for Donald Trump, but he's my president. And I hope he turns into the greatest president ever. But what did he do? He talked about the comments for individuals who demonize others on a regular basis and blamed it clearly on the radical left. The amount of hypocrisy when Donald Trump is blaming others for demonizing individuals. Let's also be clear before somebody takes some bizarre leap. The murder is on the person who fired the weapon. I'm not blaming Donald Trump for Charlie Kirk's killing, full stop, to quote Adam Carter. I'm not. I'm calling for better comments. I'm calling for moments where people can coalesce. And when yesterday the president of everyone, who I get is touched because he had a personal relationship with Charlie Kirk, and I don't expect him to be objective. I want him to be passionate about that. If he's devastated, he's hurt, he gets a chance to talk to family, that's all legitimate emotions. But when he talks about the violence which has been directed at public officials and politicians, Dave, he only mentioned those attacks at people who are either in his party or support his party. It was a layup to mention Mark and Melissa Hortman. Simple. If he's going to mention Steve Scalise, and he should, because if Steve Scalise is not in a leadership position when they're practicing for that baseball game, who knows how many elected officials who could have been killed. And by the way, that was an ardent Bernie Sanders supporter. Do I blame Bernie Sanders for it? No. Should he watch his rhetoric? Sure. If he's going to mention Scalise, I don't know, mention Gabby Giffords. This is when, again, I don't want this distorted in any way. The person who killed Charlie Kirk is the person solely responsible for that. But whether it's in a moment where I just think the president failed in trying to unify all of us and just was clearly pointing the fingers and staying to his base, that was all about his base. Tim Walz, when he's chuckling about maybe the president having a serious illness and the other comments he's made before that left us shaking our heads, cheering for Elon Musk's stock to fall, that's all about their base. That doesn't mean tepid, timid, afraid to give comments. That doesn't mean you're not allowed to criticize the governor with vigor or the president with your words and powerful words, but there are clear lines. There hasn't been one time, whether it was George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and in particular, Donald Trump, where I've ever once, not a single time, the Hitler comparison. Do I think Trump loves and demonstrates his authoritarian streak and the power and bypassing normal protocols and challenging laws on a regular basis? Yeah, it's indisputable. But Adolf Hitler, hell no. Not going there, never will. And then the default is from so many followers with the hatred. Hey, if my guy can offer up hatred, I'll offer up hatred. So that's where just to blame it on elected officials is not enough. It's on all of us. What do you want to say, in particular about comments by our leaders and whether any of the words will change off this? Because, Dave, while you would be hopeful, do you believe the words, do you believe this will be the seminal moment when example A, B, C, D, I could go through the list, repeat the alphabet over and over again, they weren't the points to change the rhetoric?
The person to blame is the shooter. There's no question about that. And you're not saying that you're not putting any blame on society, on, as you said, all of us, correct? On our political rhetoric, on everything that we do, right?
Yeah. I mean, all of us are playing a part within this system. It obviously carries more weight when leaders have the voice and the ability to influence the way they do. And in particular, when the president can, for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, it turned out it was 5 minutes, can be a unifying voice, and he just decided to play to his base.
Yeah.
I thought that was a horrible decision.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I thought it was pretty gross to go after the liberals, and it was far beyond him. Yesterday, it was, as we talked about earlier, on social media. We're keeping a scorecard now. We're keeping a scorecard of, well, this many liberals were shot, but this many conservatives were shot. And, you know, that's the fight now of who's the more violent group, who is, you know, who embraces assassinations more than the other, where we can't just look at it and say, America, we got a problem. And until we actually decide that we want to fix it, we're going to do this again in a month, in 2 months, in 6 months, whatever it is.
Let's also not forget, speaking of the president, how many times did he crack jokes about Paul Pelosi?
Yeah.
Thought it was funny. Someone broke into the then Speaker of the House's home somewhere in San Francisco looking to kill Nancy Pelosi, and joke after joke after joke from the commander in chief. And when this never happens for the president, who pardoned everybody tied to January 6th? So the idea that conservatives or the leader of the party has never engaged in this and the demonizing, he does it all the damn time. So let's just tell the truth. 651-461-9226.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to get to a caller in just a little bit. We had another caller call in and say, towards me, all you do is criticize Trump, and then you're surprised when there's political violence. I'm sorry. There's an enormous, and I said that about as Minnesota as possible. There is an enormous difference between criticizing Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Tim Walz, Donald Trump, and then advocating for political violence. Give me a break. Don't be so deep as an ideologue that you can't tell the difference from pointed, direct. If you think excessive, go ahead. Say excessive criticism versus enemy of the country, demonizing individuals. It's pretty. So in other words, does this texter say no one should be allowed to criticize anybody? That again is one of the utmost points that so many people are missing about Charlie Kirk and his ability to engage with folks. When so many others just want to have their quick hot take view on their policy, don't even listen to the words, and just stick back with it. Let's go to Jason, who's called in. Jason, you're on CCO. Thanks for listening.
Great topic. Completely agree with you. I'm going to kind of keep it simple. First of all, say I am an independent. I was probably at least 10 plus years ago. I'm not even going to say what party I was aligned with before. I'm a firm independent, and I look for policies and approaches that align with values and what I think outcomes need to be. Getting right to the point, you know, it's leadership. And as I looked at it, both at a country level, a civic level, but even apply it to a corporate environment that I work in, when you look at the culture and what you want to have happen, the norms and behaviors that you want to see bringing about, it has to start with leadership and personal leadership. And it applies to everybody. And to be able to say, are we living by the values that we espouse? Let's talk about values and how we bring it about. But it has to start with personal leadership, getting away from all the rhetoric and actions that you've just been talking about and actually role modeling it. So it's through role modeling it that we start signaling to others that this is what's important and this is how we want to engage with each other. So to me, we all have to, each of us, all the way up through our top leaders, have to start role modeling what we want to bring about in the country.
Just an outstanding call, Jason. Appreciate the comments. Please keep listening. Call in anytime.
Thank you, Chad.
Yep. Among the texts, the left has called Trump a Nazi for years and years. They call him Hitler. Worst human in history and over and over again. And you wonder why he may not be catering to Dems, really. Okay. I just pointed out how awful, how I would never compare Donald Trump to Hitler. Never, ever, ever. But assuming, because we do this, the right does this, Dave. The left does this. God, generalizing just drives me nuts. So let's call out the individuals who use the Hitler comment, who make that comparison. And to me, don't disqualify them, but to put in perspective of who they're comparing Donald Trump to. And again, do I think he wants to be president for the next 20 years? Do I think he wants to have every say possible? Yes, I do. Is he close to Adolf Hitler? Absolutely, unequivocally, no.
No, and that's
You're feeling the fire. Hard stop. Today isn't the day for criticism of Trump. We're talking about the rhetoric. We're talking about the dialogue. And this to me, Dave, I want to direct to both, but this is an example of a shooting takes place. Well, today is not the day to talk about gun violence. When is it? And I really haven't talked much about the president and his speech outside of asking Major about it at about 12:50 and now bringing it up for the first time and also talking about how last week, three separate segments one day, two segments the next day, criticizing Democrats, and in particular, Tim Walz, for making jokes about Donald Trump's health and possibly dying. So to act like I don't call that out is factually incorrect. Sorry, Dave, I jumped in on you. Sorry about
no,
that.
That's okay. It's you were reading a good text there. And it seems to me, Donald Trump or not, I don't care who the president is, their job, if they're coming on to talk to the American people after any sort of national tragedy, we're talking about a political murder here, a political assassination. Your job is to rise above it, is to rise above the hatred that each side is throwing at each other. We're talking about a country now where in the last few months we've had people from the left and people of the right be assassinated, be shot because of their political views. And you spent part of the speech ripping one side against the other. I thought it was unacceptable and part of the
predictable.
Yes, part of the Trump playbook, sadly. And yes, anyone who calls Donald Trump Hitler is wrong, and it's ridiculous rhetoric, and it's part of the problem. But part of the problem is also, whether it's Trump or plenty of others, not being able to rise above it, to just go right into the mud and just be part of it because, hey, that's what gets the clicks. That's what gets me on cable news. That's what people will follow on social media.
He just isn't capable of just saying for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I'm not going to be the Republican president of the United States of America. I'm going to be the president. And obviously Obama, with his speech in 2004, put himself on the map. And there are many, many, many people who don't feel like Obama lived up to that. And you're totally entitled to that belief. But let me go back to let's go every president. Reagan, H.W. Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama, and Biden outside of Trump. Not one of them If this would have happened during their presidency and they gave an approximate 5-minute speech, zero of them were to turn this into a partisan attack. But Donald Trump doesn't know any better and doesn't think he should change, Dave, because he thinks it's been success for him. So why alter it? Now, a texter says those presidents didn't face assassination attempts. That is true. And again, if you listen to this show, and I appreciate if you do, and I get that for some people you're in and out. Dave, how many times, I mean, dozen plus, did I say, how is it possible? We don't know more about an attempt on the killing. He wasn't the president at the time. He was the former president of Donald Trump. And that is awful. That is despicable. And I thought maybe that would, you know, Donald Trump in his speech at the RNC, remember, it was very quiet. It was somber. He was talking about it. Well, what happened? The crowd wasn't reacting. So guess what he went back to? Playing the hits. So again, the person who fired the weapon killed Charlie Kirk. But we're part of it because of the role we play and who we vote for. I know I am an adamant critic of Donald Trump. I am. But there are plenty of Republicans I still vote for. I have zero interest in the far left politically in this country and their views. That doesn't mean if you vote for people who are more to the right than I might like or more to the left than I might like, you're an awful person, but it's the dialogue. And then you're also allowed to hold a governor who you voted for, a president who you voted for, and other elected officials to a standard. And when Walz is going to that level, he's failing the standard. When a good friend of his who played a notable part in his election is murdered, I'm sure he's going to be emotional. That's human. But to then just say, this is the time to continue my partisan attacks and act like he doesn't demonize on a regular basis is just misplaced. You can keep reacting, 651-461-9226, but we went to the Am I Wrong committee and asked them an enormous favor if they would participate in a Thursday Am I Wrong. Do we have an answer yet from said committee?
Let's be clear. You went to the spokesperson. I don't know if demanded is the right term, but it's really close.
Yeah.
Demanded because, frankly, you're not interested in working this last half hour of the show. So you know what? I spoke to the committee. They're very disappointed. They're not happy with you.
Yeah.
But we feel like we've been backed into a corner. So, you know, the meeting was scheduled for tonight. We've had to cancel that. Well, it's no point. I guess we'll have to reconvene next week. But I've done my best to cobble some things up over just some text messages with, you know, several committee members.
I've heard you before. Might be better to cobble.
Well, you can. I mean, do you want the segment or not? Because if you want to have to work for this last half hour, I'm willing to sit it out.
Am I Wrong? Next on CCO.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Courage. That's what this committee is about. Courage.
Courage. Inspired resolutions, Chad.
All right. Inspire me. Let's go.
I've never been more inspiring than I am every week. Typically every Friday during this segment, but that's fine. You want it on a Thursday? That's okay. We'll just do whatever the big man wants to do. He's in charge around here. Hey, let's celebrate today. It's a big day around this country. I know we're obviously talking about a lot of heavy issues, a lot of things that are terrible in the world, in the country right now. I was looking back at 9/11, Charlie Kirk. But you know what? We do need to remember that it is National School Picture Day, Chad. National School Picture Day. We finally made it again. A day to celebrate getting those little ones dressed up, the hair done, everything perfect as they head out for school that day, hop on the bus, only to end up with some food on their face, snot on their shirt, rolling around in the dirt, grass stains at recess, and in the end have the most ridiculous attempt at a smile on their face anyway for the photographer, so it ruins the whole picture and we couldn't do anything about it. And then
sounds like you love the process, Dave.
Oh, it's just great. And then, of course, we parents were expected to shell out half of a mortgage payment to get photos for ourselves, to put in an album for the kids, get ready, you know, got to save them for the graduation party that's 10 years down the road. And, of course, every relative needs a photo, you know, 5x10 or 5x7 and 8x10, maybe a magnet picture too. So in summary, we're celebrating the second greatest scam ever pulled on the American parenting public, second only to, of course, the youth sports and activities photo scam.
You're in the area, that's for sure. I think back all those times. Let's not forget the sports and extracurricular photos too.
That's what I just called the biggest scam in America, Chad. Pay attention. Yeah. Come on, stick with me.
Yeah.
You're moving quick, but you got to hang up.
Yeah.
Hang
on. No.
With.
Yeah. I did. You did sort of say that right before.
Yeah, I really did.
It's a minor point.
Shocking. You'd be thinking of what you wanted to say versus what I would say. That's amazing. I didn't see that from you.
That was pretty bad. I gotta admit that. Huh? You're talking? Wait a second. I'm supposed to pay attention? When is it my turn? They need to have more customized orders, right? Because you got the A, you got the B, you got the C. And more often than not, it gives you way too many pictures or way too many of the sizes that nobody wants.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of like you when you show up at a family event. No, don't sit by Dave. You know, the 5x7, who wants to give out the 5x7s? It's either the bigger ones or the real small ones that go in a wallet or a purse. Get the 5x7s. Get out of here.
Whoa.
Dead to me, 5x7s.
No. The 5x7 is perfect. The 5x7's where it's at if you're giving them away.
Because it's cheaper. That's why you think it's perfect.
Well, that obviously helps. But, I mean, no, but you don't need the 8x10s for everybody. The nice 5x7, especially if we're talking grandparents, if they got several grandkids, you give them all an 8x10. That's taking up the whole place.
Apparently, grandparents in your life don't really like their grandchildren. The grandparents of my life love the 8x11s. Come on.
That's 8x10. Let's get your photos straight. Clearly, you never worked at a Walmart.
Mine are 8x11s. I'm going with it.
Really? Okay. Shocking. You try to squeeze an extra inch in there, and we didn't know about it.
No comment.
Let's look at the Vikings' schedule.
Oh.
Specifically.
Got the Falcons this week.
Yes,
let's go,
we do.
Falcon pride.
Specifically, we're not worried about the opponents right now. The game times over roughly the first half of the season. It's truly amazing. We had Monday night week one, Sunday night coming up. Weeks 4 and 5, Sunday morning games, 8:30 kickoffs our time. And then you go to week 7, we've got a Thursday night. I would say 7 weeks of football, only 2 of the 7 games played during the middle of a Sunday where the weather can potentially still be not awful through most of October when week 7 is. I would say this is the single greatest schedule of games the NFL has ever provided to Vikings fans.
Am I wrong? Yeah, the noon start
stinks.
It gets old. It really does.
It's good for about the end of November through the rest of the year.
Yeah, wouldn't you rather have the 3 o'clock start if it's just that? In the two Europe games, like you said, the 8:30 a.m., you roll out of bed, boom, they're right there. That's fine. Nighttime games, I'm with you. Too many noon games. Get out of here. Let's mix it up more. Well, with the NFL, I mean, they're pretty much, it wouldn't shock me soon if there's a Tuesday 1 o'clock game. Yeah, they're never going to stop. Wednesday 4 a.m., and the numbers still would be enormous.
They would be. I'd be awake. I'd be fine.
Of course you would. You and your fantasy football obsession. Let's pause right here.
Let's
leave you more time for the Am I Wrong committee. When we come back, you can obviously comment on the committee and most often their ineptitude. Chiming in, 651-461-9226. Get up, get off your butt, walk around, stretch your body, get that blood flowing, and then every once in a while, go see my friends at Stretch Lab, stretchlab.com. Why not sign up for a monthly rate? Then you can go multiple times, which you need to. You should be stretching every single day. You should stretch if you're a 22-year-old and you're fit. You're in college. You're bouncing around. You're listening to us for a little bit. You should stretch and go to stretchlab.com. If you're 74, you're a loyal listener. I might annoy you, but you still keep listening to CCO. You should go to Stretch Lab if you're a golfer, if you're a runner, pickleball, or if you lay around too much. Train professionalists who will assess you, talk to you, and make you feel better. 12-plus locations in town, stretchlab.com. It's a bonus, Am I Wrong? The public has been demanding it. Like Vikings games, not just at noon. You know, the 3:15, the 3:05, the 7 o'clock Monday night, the 7:20, the European game. So we like to bounce Am I Wrong committee around for the first time. I think it's working out, keeping them mobile. Dave, as usual, is off to a very tepid, slow start. We will hope he will pick up. You kind of want to boost your kids. You kind of want to push them a little bit, like the bird out of the nest. So far, you keep falling to the ground. Go ahead. Let's see if you can fly this time.
Yeah, let's see if you can listen to what I actually say and not make it your own argument. That would be good, too. So this piece, courtesy,
stop with facts.
KSTP, Jay Coles had it. The Minneapolis City Council considering cutting off-duty police from city-owned parking ramps, trying to save some bucks. Let's focus on the one nugget of information in the story that alarmed the committee most of all. In fact, I was reached out to last night by Dennis, who saw the story, alerted me to it, and thought it was a little bit ridiculous. Talking about, you know, contracts for police, it's getting a little expensive. Maybe this is the way to save some money. But then there's this line. Parking ramps aren't cheap to operate. With an expected 5-year contract for the city of Minneapolis at $182 million.
What?
The committee can tell you this with 1,000, 1,000, 1,000,000% certainty. It does not cost $182 million for the city to operate parking ramps. And if it does, there is a serious problem.
Am I wrong? We are in the wrong business, which we've known for a long time. But, man, the parking ramp business is a good business to be in.
Big ramp.
Jeez, big. Well, we know this. When you go on with the parking torturers, I mean, the ramps around us, which the two of us, I sometimes, when it's very, very cold, will go belly up. You will never.
No.
But honestly, if you're down there and you stay there for, what'd you say, 5 hours or so?
Sure.
What's the minimum? $25? $30?
If you're in the core of downtown, that's probably about right, yeah.
That is a major problem. First of all, it's not real friendly if you're working downtown.
No.
Okay. But you got to put up with, hopefully your bosses can help you out. But it is incredibly expensive, and sadly, because of some of the legitimate safety issues, that we're not going to do this. This is, again, where we're drawing the line. Seems a strange spot, but I get how that part of the story was obscured by the $182 million. Man, oh, man, we got enough of these buildings where nobody's in them. Let's just let them park cars in these buildings. Sounds somehow, good. Some way.
they could start parking cars in this building. That would be nice.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
Run a little skinny thing, some equipment. That's okay. Are you familiar with Ben Cohen and Jerry Greenfield?
I think they're Ben and Jerry, right?
They sure are, yeah. They used to make ice cream. Started the brand about 50 years ago, a couple decades ago. In fact, back in 2000, they sold the brand. They sold it to Unilever. Saying Ben and Jerry's, they were given the freedom. However, Ben and Jerry's was given the freedom to still pursue its social mission. But they're not complaining, Chad. They're complaining that Unilever has eroded that freedom over the past 2.5 decades, writing in a letter to their parent company, quote, "For several years now, the voice of Ben and Jerry's has been silenced by Unilever, particularly when the brand has tried to speak out about social justice and unjust wars. That is not the Ben and Jerry's that we founded or the one that we envisioned when we agreed to join Unilever 25 years ago." And to that, the committee says, too bad, you sold out.
Am I wrong?
Every single person who builds up a successful company, whether by themselves or with a number of partners, the same damn thing happens.
Yes.
That you just laid out every single time. Whether it's friends of yours, associates of yours, or you read stories, you nailed it. They gave you some pile of money. And I'm just guessing for Ben and Jerry's, Dave,
yeah,
it wasn't a small pile of money.
Considering every pint goes for about $18.
Yes. Yes, correct. And you also get a parking spot.
Yes.
You get the $18 and you also get involved in the $182 million parking scam. You made the decision.
Yes.
You sold.
And they gave you a quarter century before you finally started complaining about it. That's 24 more years than most people get.
Here's what you get to do. Don't sell the company. Just keep the company, and then you can do whatever you want to do. But I can think of a conversation I had with a friend who has a very successful company and sold it not too long ago. And I said to him, what happens when they tell you we're going to do things different? That won't happen. Guess what happened about 6 months later? They started telling him to do things different.
Amazing.
And he was mad. And I just chuckled. I said, couldn't see that coming, could you?
Yeah. Imagine the owner of the company would want to do things their way.
That is exactly right. All right, we're done. Who's in for Jason?
We've got Corzo in today for Jason. Henry in for you tomorrow.
Excellent. All right. Enjoy your afternoon. Thanks so much for listening. Check out the podcast. Check out the Twitter. I appreciate you taking the time. Enjoy Corzo. He's next on CCO.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.